Greetings, and welcome to the Pressure BioSciences third quarter 2018 financial review and business update call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Rick Schumacher, President and CEO. Thank you, Mr. Schumacher. You may begin.
Thank you, Andrew, and thanks. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come to our third quarter review and business update. Before we begin, I'd like to read this this statement. The following remarks may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied from such forward-looking statements. Such factors include, among others, those detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We expressly disclaim any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements to reflect any change in our expectations or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which such statement is based. I said I would like to read it. I have to be more honest and say I'm asked to read it by our lawyers. So the agenda today is that I'm here with Joe DiMaggio. As you all know, Joe is our Chief Financial Officer, and Joe's going to give a brief overview of the third quarter and year-to-date financial results. I turn it over to me, and I'm going to give a business update afterwards, and then we're going to take a few questions. I'll apologize right now because the press release, which we always get out before the Q is filed, did not get out today. We'll talk about that. It will be coming out. It'll be coming out probably right after the call is over. And I know that helps to summarize a lot of the financial results that are in the 60, 70 page Q. So I'm sorry you don't have that beforehand, but Joe will go through the numbers and in summary form. You will have the press release out to look at. And I know that the Q was filed, as always, just after 4 o'clock on today. So I'm going to turn it over to Joe to give us a brief overview of the third quarter results.
Good afternoon, everyone. Products and services revenue was $461,000 for the third quarter of 2018, compared to $603,700 for the same quarter of 2017, a 24% decrease. Sales of instruments decreased to $278,000 in Q3 2018, compared to $411,000 in Q3 2017. A decrease of 32%. Sales of consumables were $43,000 for the Q3 2018 compared to $85,000 for the same period in 2017. Contracted scientific services for protein refolding applications and initial UST services to Ohio State University provided an additional $80,000 in revenue. Grant revenue in Q3 2018 was $61,000 compared to $42,000 in Q3 2017. Total revenue for the third quarter ended September 30, 2018 was $522,000 compared to $646,000 for the same period in 2017. This decrease was primarily due to employee turnover in our sales team and lost opportunities in China because of new tariffs imposed by both countries. Operating loss for Q3 2018 was $933,000 compared to $1.1 million for the same period in 2017. This decrease in operating loss of $192,000 or 17% was due primarily to the reduced utilization of outside services, investor relations, and one-time costs in the prior period relating to our website development. Loss per common share, basic and diluted, was 2.01 for Q3 2018 compared to a loss per common share of 207 for the same period in 2017. Total revenue for 2018 first 9 months was $1.8 million compared to $1.7 million for the prior year same period, an increase of $33,000 or 2%. This increase was primarily due to higher revenue from scientific services. Products and service revenue increased to $1,665,000 for the first 9 months of 2018, compared to $1,610,000 for the same period in 2017, an increase of $55,000 or 3%. Comparing first 9 months 2018 to first 9 months 2017, instrument sales decreased slightly to $1,095,000 from $1,154,000, a decrease of $59,000 or 5%. Consumable sales decreased to $182,000 from $200,000, a decrease of 9%. Grant revenue decreased to $107,000 in 2018 for the first 9 months, from $128,000 in the same prior year period, a decrease of 16.5%. Operating loss was $2.9 million for the first 9 months of 2018, compared to a loss of $3.3 million for the same period in 2017, a decrease of 11%. This decrease was primarily due to sales growth, reduced utilization of investor public relations, completion of a qualified sales lead development contract in the prior period, and one-time costs in the prior period relating to co-marketing campaign with a European distributor in our website development, offset by increased R&D costs relating to contract research performed by collaboration partners. Net loss per common share, basic and diluted, was 12.67 for the 9 months ended September 30, 2018, compared to 7.28 for the same period in 2017. And with that, I'll pass it back to Rick.
Thank you, Joe. So first thing I'd like to address before I go into some of the achievements, of which there were some very good ones in the third quarter, is to talk about the reduction in revenue. This is the first time in 11 quarters that we haven't had revenue exceed on a year-over-year basis the revenue of the prior year. There are three things that come to mind in this that I think all shareholders should know. First is we believe it's temporary, and we believe it's temporary because of the following three reasons. First, we went into the quarter with three sales directors in the field, and shortly thereafter we lost two. One we let go and one left on his own for what he thinks are greener pastures. And so we were down to one salesperson for most of the third quarter from three. Secondly, Joe mentioned the tariffs. We have had two major sales to a customer base in China in the last 18 months. The first was for $180,000, four different instruments and a lot of consumables. That was in middle of 2017. In early 2018, we had a $150,000 sale to the customer base in China, and this was for three instruments and a bunch of consumables. And we were negotiating since middle of August through the early week of September for a third large order for, again, four instruments into China. It was going to be somewhere between $150,000 to $180,000, more likely about $170,000 to $180,000 order. And about 3 weeks before the end of the quarter, when it was certain that the tariffs were going to be put on the equipment that they were buying, they asked us if we could reduce it by the cost of the tariff. We said we couldn't do that. There was just no way to do that and still make money on the deal. And so we both decided we'd put the order on the back burner and see what happens. So we think that the order is still alive. We're doing a lot of things to communicate with this customer base, and particularly the main person all the time, at least once a week, if not more often. This is a solid supporter who's actually bringing in his colleagues from around China to learn about pressure cycling technology and our Barocycler Extreme. And we feel like the order is still there. We're just letting time happen and see what happens to the tariff situation. But at this point, we unfortunately lost that order, and we went from having a quarter that would have been our largest quarter in the history of the company to a quarter that still a very large quarter at 520,000, but one that did not stack up to the previous year's same quarter. And the third reason is the UltraShear technology focus. Starting in about July, we started to move some of our technical people over to a more concerted effort in the area of UltraShear development. And then in August, and particularly in September, we moved even more and asked more time of their time. These are technical people that often support our marketing. They often get on phone calls from our salespeople with their customers, potential customers, and that was lost because we felt and still feel that the opportunity with UltraShear technology dwarfs anything that we have right now, and therefore it was best to take our technical people and put them very focused on the development of UltraShear to try to hit some of the milestones that we had set rather than have them available for supporting our marketing group. And so for those reasons, we believe that this drop in revenue is temporary. I will go a little bit further and say another reason is that we're not even or we're barely halfway through the fourth quarter, and our numbers to date in terms of purchase orders received or purchase orders that are not received, but we grade them, anything that's 90% or greater, rarely does a 90% not show up. It does sometimes not show up, but rare. The 90%ers and the purchase orders received almost equal all of last year's fourth quarter, and we're not quite halfway through the November month. So we're excited about our continued sales and our continued future in the area of the biopharmaceutical area, the biomarker discovery area, et cetera. So we've had one unfortunate temporary blip, and we're working hard. We're also working hard to replace the two salespeople that left, and expect that with a lot of effort, we're going to be able to get those people hired, we hope, before January 1st. I'd also want to point out that our operating loss has decreased several quarters in a row. We're paying a lot of attention to our costs. We're doing everything we can to reduce everything that isn't just absolutely necessary. There are certainly, we still have investor relations people that are helping us out, but we've reduced the amount and the cost of investor relations from where we were earlier in the year and all of last year, and that's showing up in our bottom line as our operating loss has decreased now two quarters in a row, and we've decreased it for the year to date in addition. So I'd like to now go on to some of the accomplishments of the quarter. And I'd like to start with, since we had our last phone call on August 15th, I'd like to start with August 30th. We were awarded these were all put out in press releases, and I'm sure that many of you on the phone have knowledge of this. We were awarded a key U.S. patent for a novel high-pressure flow-through microfluidic device. We believe that this is going to open up the path to develop an automated hands-free sample preparation workflow utilizing our high-pressure platforms. So very excited about getting this patent. On September 13th, we announced the commercial release of a new line of instruments, the Hub 880 Explorer. We're actually working on at least one Hub 880 now in the fourth quarter, but we released two. We sold two Hub 880s. These are instruments that are a little different than our mainstay, our core instrument, of which we sold more than 300 now. The 2320 Extreme is an instrument that goes to 45,000 pounds per square inch. The Hub 880 goes to 90,000 pounds per square inch. It is useful in the food area. It's useful in the foodborne disease bacteria area where these things are very tough to break. Spores and things like this, they're very tough to break. So we have an instrument that is goes to much higher pressures, and it's a much bigger instrument. It's a more costly instrument. And as we said, we sold one to the U.S. and one to Japan, and we're working on one right now in the fourth quarter as we speak. So very happy that we were able to release the first commercial instruments of the Hub 880, and we have a lot of expectations for this instrument in 2019. On September 21st, we announced that a number of our platforms, including the 880 and our 20 through 20 Extreme were prominently featured by several investigators that gave papers, talks at the world's largest annual food science meeting that was in Chicago. So we had an entire session that was devoted to novel ways of making food safer, and pressure was one of the most important, most prominent, and we as a company were prominently talked about at this meeting. And also on October 3rd, we put out a press release that told our investors that we were going to accelerate the development of our UltraShear technology platform in order to try to pursue commercialization of the technology into new markets as soon as possible. If you recall, the instrument we have out now, the main instrument, the 2320, is called a pressure cycling instrument. It has a pressure chamber. The scientist puts their samples in our consumable test tubes that they buy from us inside the chamber, close the lid, and they dial in the amount of pressure, and the water in that chamber gets compressed, and that pressure goes into the samples, the cells, the bacteria, the enzymes, whatever it is that they want to pressurize. It is done in a way that we turn the pressure on and off. We cycle it, so it's called pressure cycling technology. UltraShear is different. UltraShear is more of a flow-through system where it's a constant flow-through system. We're not putting individual samples. We're taking liquids, and we're flowing liquids through two patented devices that we have. Patented in China, we believe that the patents are getting close in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world. And these, one is called the baroisolator, one is called the baroshear valve. And these two patented concepts are part of UltraShear. And as the material flows through the system and goes through the valve, it is sheared. Shear means cut. It is cut. And so we use high pressure. We combine high pressure with very, very intense, maybe even ultrasonic speed shearing or cutting. And what this does is it cuts the particles down to very small sizes. So if they're bacteria, if they're viruses, if they're spores, if it's mold, it should cut it up and kill it. We have to still show this, but everything we know to date says we should be able to effectively decrease or get rid of the potential pathogenic bugs that are in the liquid that we're ultra-shearing. And that's something that we'll be working on and showing in the future. But what it does is it chops things down, and it turns them into what we call nano-emulsions, nano being very, very small, sub-microscopic. It's a word that's getting around, you know, it's a buzzword now for the last 10 years, nanotechnology, nano this, nano that. So in the one example I give that a lot of people say, oh, I get it right away, is oil and water. If you take oil and water and you try to mix them, they don't mix. The oil just floats to the top. If you take that oil and water solution and you put it through UltraShear, what we believe will happen is that the shearing effect with the high pressure is going to shear or cut the oil droplets from these oil drops to tiny, tiny submicroscopic nano drops. They're so small that they can't even reflect light. Light doesn't reflect off them. So in a true nano emulsion, the emulsion goes from opaque or cloudy to where it's actually clear or almost clear. We call it translucent or virtually clear. So we believe UltraShear has many, many uses in multiple markets. Some of these markets are absolutely huge. We're talking markets that do billions of dollars or even trillions, like the food market. A lot of emulsions are out there. We drink milk. Milk is an emulsion. We're mixing things that don't normally mix. They're immiscible. And so when you make a nano emulsion, it's known from a lot of work from a lot of investigators over the years that nano emulsions are almost always much more stable than other types of emulsions. They are much more bioavailable. So if you're cutting something down to smaller pieces, it's more available. So if you're ingesting it in the body, it's more likely to be absorbed by the body. So there's a lot of things that are good about nano emulsions. And we believe that our UltraShear technology, using two patented devices that are very important, a baroisolator and a baroshear valve, can actually take oil and water and make it mix and stay mixed and not come out of solution. So why am I bringing this up? Because we put a press release out on November 9th, that said we hit the first developmental milestone of our UltraShear technology by taking these people, our wonderful technical people, and refocusing their efforts a great deal onto the UltraShear technology platform. We were able to make more progress in the last 2 to 3 months than I ever dreamed we could make. I thought it would take us 6 months or longer to make the same progress, but we made it in 2 to 3 months because of this concerted, focused effort from some amazing technical people that we have here on staff. And on November 9th, we announced that we achieved the first major milestone. UltraShear technology depends upon the instrumentation. You can't do anything with UltraShear if the instrumentation, the flow through of the liquid, the way to isolate the liquid from other parts of the system, the shearing valve to shear the liquid, shear the oil to smaller particles. This all has to flow together, and we announced that milestone was hit and that we had our first working prototype of the UltraShear system. And we announced that on November 9th. Extremely, extremely happy. But then the next step has to be done, which is what we said in this press release. We have to now start working on developing the methods, the proprietary methods that are going to make water-soluble oils. We're going to make oil soluble in water. We're going to chop oil down. Think about oil, whether it's in a salad dressing. Think about, as we've talked about, that raspberry vinaigrette going through UltraShear and coming through as one solution that never sediments out, no longer having you shake it vigorously before you put it on your salad. Think about that with your paint. Think about that with pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals. All these things that are emulsions, suntan lotion, cosmetics that fall apart after a period of time, that if we can make them as stable emulsions by making them into good solid nano emulsions, then we'd have tremendous uses for this technology. And so we're very excited that on November 9th that we announced this, but we also said we still got a lot of work ahead of us. And that work is that we have to get to the next milestone. The next milestone is the application. The example I've given before, it's one thing to have a cell phone, but you got to have applications. That cell phone ain't very smart if it doesn't have any applications. UltraShear isn't going to do what we want it to do until we develop the applications, till we know what to do, how to make oil and water mixed and stay stable for weeks or months at a time. So we put our minds to taking the first working prototype. Can't do it till you have the instrument. Taking our first working prototype and then started to work on the applications. How do we make it work? How do we get it to work so that we don't destroy what we're doing, but we actually make it better into a good solid nano emulsion. So very excited about that. The other thing that we're excited about is that we've had a new hire. Dr. Brad Young joined us, and we let that news out on November 7th. Dr. Young has got a PhD in biochemistry from University of Maryland School of Medicine. He's also got an MBA from the University of California at Berkeley, and so at a wonderful school there. So we're just excited. I've known Brad personally and professionally for 6 or years or so. Our chairman, Jeff Peterson, has known Brad for 2 to 3 times that. He's known him for many, many years. We've had a lot of respect for Brad over the years, but we're a Boston-based company, and Brad was a San Francisco-based entrepreneur, as well as a guy that was working for some very large companies. He was director of market and business development for Quest Diagnostics, perhaps the largest testing lab in the country, certainly one of the two largest in the country. He also was head of market development for Celera. Celera was a very large company that was a pioneer in personalized medicine. So he's been an entrepreneur, and he's also been working in market development, business development, and commercialization for some very big companies. So when we found out, just kind of in chatting with him last January, that he was thinking about, he's an Annapolis guy, he wanted to move back to the East Coast, he wanted to get back to the incredible blue crabs that you can get in the Chesapeake Bay, and all of the great, great science being done back here on the East Coast. I looked at Jeff, he looked at me, and we said, wow, what a great opportunity. And we worked with Brad for the last few months. We were able to convince him that we were the right group to go to, and he's joined us. I know for a fact he turned down several, one or two jobs as CEO of other companies. He's joined us as Chief Commercial Officer. He'll run all of our commercialization programs. He'll run our business development. He'll help with our marketing. He's got tremendous background, tremendous energy, acumen. He's a team player. We really lucked out in getting Brad on board, and he's going to be taking UltraShear, and he's going to be taking Pressure Cycling and the Barrifold acquisition that we did in December of last year and all the work we're doing there, and he's going to help us get this out even better and start to really drive the commercialization of our technologies, drive revenue by going to companies that could use our technology to be combined with theirs. So that's what I've got so far. And Andrew, I'm going to stop talking now, take a breath, and turn it over to you, because I'm sure we've got some questions that that might be out there from our group.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star, then two if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. The first question comes from Robert Wyman, a private investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Wyman, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay, my question would be, since I read about the UltraShear technology that you announced, I think it was the 9th, has anything occurred? Any additional things?
Well, first of all, thank you for being an investor. Appreciate that.
Yep.
I'm gonna check it. yes, I'd like to give an update, and I'd like to tell everybody that this is an update that I've been waiting to give for quite some time. I needed to make sure with the lawyers. I needed to make sure it was after 5 o'clock, because I know we were filing an 8K at 5 o'clock, and I just wanted to make sure it's after 5. So yes, I can answer that. There will be a press release tomorrow morning prior to the market open that will tell everyone that we have achieved our second milestone in our UltraShear development. We have achieved the ability to make water soluble, to make oil and water mix, to make oil and water into a nano emulsion, and to open up UltraShear to tremendous amount of markets that can use solid, good, stable nano emulsions, such as the nutraceutical field in the, for instance, the cannabis field, which we've been talking about a little bit in the past. So tomorrow morning, prior to market opening, we are we're working on the press release now. It'll be out tomorrow, and embedded in that press release will be a movie, a video. And that video will show everyone how UltraShear works, and it will show us taking UltraShear processed CBD oil and hemp oil that normally, when you put it in water, would just coagulate, would look like spaghetti. We will take it, we process it, we put it into a beaker of water, and it disappears. We've been able to, in the last several weeks, develop the first working prototype of the UltraShear instrument, and over the last few days, we've been able to use that instrument to develop a process that makes nanoemulsion, very good, solid, stable, high-quality nanoemulsions of CBD oil, plant oil, and hemp plant oil, and put this into water and have it basically dissolve and disappear, and the water stays clear. So I'm very, very excited. This is what we've been working so hard for the last year. This is why we're renovating space downstairs. This is why we're spending thousands of dollars to bring in some major changes in the electrical supply. This is why we've hired Dr. Young. This is why we've brought our technical people for the last 3 months over to work on this system, because we think that the potential of this system is mind-boggling to us. We think we believe that there's multiple markets that are very, very large, that do millions, billions, and even in the food market, trillions of dollars, that could use a method to make safer food, more stable food, more stable emulsions of food and pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals. So yes, thanks for asking that. I'm glad we got to 5 o'clock. This has not been released yet, but it doesn't matter because it's now in an 8K. It's now been filed, and also we will have the press release and the movie out tomorrow. So just super, super excited. I want to congratulate my team. We pulled them together 3 months ago and said, this is we have an opportunity here. We are an instrument company. We are not leaving that. We are remaining an instrument company. But the markets that we sell our instruments to and the instruments we make are changing. And so we do have folks in the pharmaceutical business. We have folks in the nutraceutical business. We have folks in the scientists in the food business that are using our core technology, pressure cycling technology. We know that ultra shear will fit in extremely well into some of these. And the first area that we're looking at and have talked about in some of our press releases is the cannabis area. And in the cannabis area, we're not looking at THC, we're looking at CBD. CBD is one of 100 compounds that are in the cannabis. It isn't psychoactive. It doesn't have any effect in terms of a psychoactive effect for anyone taking it. But there's a lot of information out there that says it has tremendous effects in areas many people have said for anti-anxiety, anti-appetite, anti-depressant, many other things. So it's all out there. So we're very, very excited because, in a nutshell, when you're putting CBD oil into a beverage, when you're putting CBD oil into an edible, when you're ingesting CBD oil out of a vial, the school of thought is that you're probably going to get less than 10%. I've heard people tell me 5%, but less than 10% of the CBD absorbed by the body, because your body doesn't do a good job of absorbing oil. If that CBD oil is made into a nano emulsion and becomes water soluble and then it's ingested, the school of thought that we hear out there is that 80, 90% or more of that CBD will become available. So it becomes more commercially viable for the manufacturers, because they can now use the right amount and not overuse and sell more than one needs, and it becomes very viable for the consumer, because like I've said before, I take 3 ibuprofens. I have a relative that takes 4, and I have another relative that takes 2. Everybody's body is different. Same thing will most likely be with CBD. So you need to know that there's enough there that it will have the beneficial effects, but not too much and not too little. So making it water soluble, be able to titrate it to the right amounts, to be able to absorb the right amounts, is a key here. So we're very, very excited about this. Thanks for your question.
Well, I'm very, very excited that I asked the question, and I think you have a lot to talk to the market about this, because I keep reading about CBD and all that, and you sound like you're a leader in the market. I can't wait to read it tomorrow. I have to find some more money.
Thank you very much.
You're
very welcome.
Bye.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on a touch-tone phone. And we have a question from Carl Basico, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Carl. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, so I had a question on, so I guess that's great, you know, and that's huge with the cannabis market. But Ohio State University and you are doing some studies, that money that was given from an FDA grant. Is that to study all the different purposes, or just the food and food and drink or food and science. I don't know what you're doing with them exactly.
Well, the Ohio State grant came from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it's totally separate from what I've just said. The Ohio State grant is looking at dairy products, and there's, imagine the ability, for instance, to take milk and to make it so that it becomes stable for weeks or months on end, and imagine the ability to take juices and make them stable, make them milk and juices, shipping at room temperature, keeping all of these things at room temperature. If you're able to process milk and process other dairy products, whether it be cream or or cheese, and if you're able to process juices to a point where you have essentially made them commercially sterile, then you don't have to worry about adding chemicals, and this is called clean food. If you go to Starbucks and you buy the Evolution brand juice, it has no chemicals, it's a clean label, but it has to be refrigerated because there are bugs that will grow in it if it is not refrigerated, if it's kept at room temperature, because it's processed with high pressure, but not with high pressure and shearing. And so you're able to reduce the amount of bacteria that are disease causing to a level that you do not even have to add chemicals, as long as you keep it refrigerated, and your shelf life's going to be the same 1.5 to 3 to 2 weeks that you're going to get if you added a lot of chemicals. But with Ultra Shear and with the USDA and Ohio State, we're working on dairy products like cheese and milk and others that perhaps we could turn into products that could sit on the shelf for months on end, because the combination of high pressure and shearing might allow us to bring it to a level of being commercially sterile. Very, very exciting. Totally different than what we're doing outside of the Ohio State contract that we have with the USDA and Ohio State. So these are different instruments. They're both based on ultra shear. They're both based on high pressure and shearing, but they're very different instruments. One is for the food market, and one is that we've developed now is for the non-food market, and the first non-food market we're looking at, not because it's the biggest, but it certainly is one of the hottest right now, and as a publicly traded company, we have an obligation to do what is best for our shareholders, and allowing this process to perhaps make a game-changing game changer in the CBD market is what we feel is the right thing to do. And so we're using this in that market first because it's a hot market and because it needs something like Ultra Shear so they can get good, stable, water-soluble CBD oil.
Wow, okay. So it sounds like you're game-changing in a lot of different categories. And to me, it would be great if you guys would partner up with maybe a large medical device company, because it doesn't sound like you should choose one category. Seems like you guys can cover a lot of categories. So I'll let you go, and thanks for the information. I just want to know what your thoughts are on the, I guess, the future because of all the applications. So
okay. Thanks. Okay, well, you're welcome, and thanks for joining us. There are multiple applications. We've had them out in the press release on November 9th. We've had them out in the press release on October 3rd. I've said them earlier tonight: cosmetics, pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, lubricants, oil, paint, industrial lubricants, suntan lotion. So many things are made of emulsions, where we're putting liquids together that don't like to be together. And so I think your point is well made. I will say that it wasn't by chance that we happened to have all this happening and we happened to have hired Dr. Young. Brad Young is a superb marketeer. Brad Young is an incredibly technical guy who is actually even better in business, in my opinion. And bringing Brad on board at this time is going to give us the opportunity to talk to a number of people. We're already talking to people in the cannabis space about CBD. We need to talk to people about all of our products, but certainly Ultra Shear is included in there now because of the milestones we've hit. And Dr. Young is already taking the ball, and he's already running down the court with it. So I'm happy to say that I agree with you that we have to look at all multiple markets. This company has been very small for a long time. Now we're growing. Now we have someone like Brad Young to take the message out and sit down with the people and has the technical and the business acumen to be able to let them know what we have.
Okay. Next, we have a question from Tom McCarthy of Raymond James Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi there. In regard to your shearing technology, who are the competitors in that space, and also is your particular technology patented?
Two good questions. There are others that are making nanoemulsions. I've said this 100 times. We didn't invent nanoemulsions. Other people make nanoemulsions. You'll see in the video tomorrow, we bought several different so-called water-soluble CBD oils on the market. And you'll see what happens when we dissolve them or try to dissolve them in water. So buyer beware, as we say in this short video. There are companies out there that sell different kinds of equipment that they say can help people make nanoemulsions, which are very important in science, not just in commerce and in commercial uses, but also in science. So there are different methods that are used. What we found is that not all water-soluble CBD oils are truly water-soluble. There's different ways to make them somewhat water-soluble. One way is to throw a lot of chemicals in. Some of these chemicals are approved for food, for ingestion, but we found some people using very large amounts, and then as soon as you put this into a beaker of water, it starts to precipitate out, coagulate, because now you've diluted out the so-called surfactants and emulsifiers. So there are companies that will sell instruments, whether it be instruments that are using pressure, instruments that are using sonicators, instruments that are using shakers, that can help you get material into solution. And all we would say is that we believe that, and you'll see it in the video, we believe that there's four or five things that we have, including two patented parts of our system that we believe will put us head and shoulders above what's out on the market. One, the baroisolators. We have a patent, on a way to isolate or keep the material that you're shearing, that you're pressurizing and shearing, away from the pressurizing source. What that means, it's much easier to clean, much faster to clean, and importantly, it's also very scalable, because if you make a milliliter or 2 milliliters of a nanoemulsion, that's great, and it may be great for your scientific study, but that's not good for commercial operation. You need to get to liters a minute, gallons a minute. The second is our shearing valve. It's a very novel shearing valve. I won't go into it here. It would be inappropriate to go into it here, but I can tell you that there's nothing like it that we've seen on the market in the world today from our shearing valve. It's been patented in China, and because they have a very quick process there for a 10-year patent, our lawyers tell us it's moving along well in Europe, in Canada, in Asian countries. So we do have two. We haven't patented ultra shear technology. We haven't patented nanoemulsions, but we have two patented devices that are part of our system that we think gives us an advantage over anybody else that's trying to make good, solid, high-quality, high-stable nanoemulsions, Tom.
Thank you. You mentioned patent application processes in some other countries. What's the status in the U.S.?
It's marching along well. We think that the U.S. patent, of course, you know, there's always bumps in the road that you don't see. But right now, it's been in. It's been in for quite some time, I think about 2 years. It's moving along the process. We are not getting a lot of pushback from the patent office, nor are we getting a lot of pushback from the patent, from the European patent office. I guess I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but we feel very good that that perhaps in 2019, one or both of these patents will be issued in the U.S. and perhaps even in Europe.
Okay, thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Rick Schumacher for closing comments. Oh, excuse me, sir. There is an additional question that has just come in. Do you have time to take it at this time?
I do.
Okay. We have a question from Grant Maxson from WGN Benefire. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Grant Nixon. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Grant.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty darn well.
That's good. I'm pretty excited. Now, the question I have is with your nanoemulsification in the process of potential injectable drugs. Is that a possibility for injectables?
That is one of the markets.
Okay.
Again, we're not making material to sell. We're selling instrumentation to companies that are the manufacturers of material. Whether it's CBD or CBG, or whether it's an injectable drug, we're going to hopefully solve a problem they have, which is to give them a better way to make that compound be absorbed by the body.
I could see that being a huge market on that. So would that be more in the areas of foreign development or more in the United States arena? And then how's the tariff going to be? How are you guys addressing the tariffs then?
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead. I mean, and I want to make sure, Grant, that you and everybody else understand. These are two milestones we've hit in the last 10 days. And we worked hard to get to this point. We have a lot of work ahead of us. We have people have already called us because they've seen the press releases. I was in Toronto about 6 weeks ago. I've been on the phone with people. I know that Dr. Young's been on the phone with people. Others have been on the phone with people. We have a road ahead of us, but it doesn't mean that what we're all interested in getting revenue into the company. And I think that we're far enough along that we have the ability to talk to people now about partnerships and collaborations and things that might generate revenue or cost cash. So there's a lot of questions to be answered. Whether we set up a system in Canada, in Japan, or in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, we can do that. We can do that. So we'll do the most appropriate thing, Grant, to make the most money for our shareholders. And I wouldn't be surprised if we help set up manufacturing facilities in the U.S., but also outside of the U.S. for different fields of use.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll pause a moment. And at this time, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Schumacher for closing comments.
Well, I appreciate everybody taking time today. I apologize for the late notice. I hope you'll forgive me. We've been working nonstop for about 3 weeks when we knew we were close. And quite frankly, we had to put a lot of things aside. We had to change times and dates of a lot of things. And so even getting the press release together for the third quarter fell into that category where it's a few hours later than it should have been, which I apologize for. But the reason is we were working with the lawyers. We were filing 8-Ks. We were moving up the conference call, which is going to be tomorrow, to today, so that we could give this news today. There's a lot of things that are happening, so I hope you'll forgive us. Normally, we're very, very good about our dates, and we just happened to move this up a day because we wanted to be able to unveil this incredible information, this very exciting information tonight with everybody on the phone call so that you can look out for the press release and the video tomorrow morning. So thanks again for joining. Look forward to everybody on the call at our next quarterly call.